The announcement by Hagedorn Commercial Printing that it will lay off 92 workers as it reorganizes is still rippling through the community. Clint Schroeder is president and chief operating officer. He explains how a 25% tariff hike and technological changes led to the erosion of its core business of publishing.
Obviously, this was a decision that was, you know, not easily reached, nor was it reached quickly. I think the executives of the Hagedorn Corporation, the ownership, and I did as much as we could sort of in advance to make sure that we were prepared to answer any questions that we could and about the surviving companies and the severance for those that will not go on with those the two other organizations. So folks are really plugged into getting the work done that we need to get done over the next 60 days and working on a solid transition plan to make it as smooth as possible.
How many employees will be retained?
There are approximately 26 employees between the Hagedorn Digital Organization and the Hagedorn Media Group that will be moving into a new location closer to town, and we're working on that location right now.
And what about the vendors that you folks worked with? Who stands to be affected immediately?
Well, you know, obviously we work with several paper vendors for Sheetfed, which are local, Spicers and Veritiv. We have a fairly significant volume with the both of them. So we're working through some of those lists in priority order. Of course, this is there's not a filing associated with this, so no legal protections or anything like that. So we have our AR and AP responsibilities. You know, we'll meet all of our obligations and those types of things. You know, obviously our clients, I think, are most curious right now on where they will go, and we're working on those two case by case and making recommendations for appropriate vendors and making sure that they get the same service and quality that they've come to expect from the Hagedorn Printing Company. And those are probably our top priority, at least now for the next couple of weeks, just making sure that everyone is comfortable with what needs to happen next. And again, you know, really working on that transition overall.
For listeners who may pick up those publications, I mean, which ones are we talking about?
So not only just publications, but, you know, Sheetfed Work, which runs the gamut from all of the tourist-type brochures that you see in Waikiki at the airport, to retail stores, catalogs, things that you get in your mail. Macy's, Costco, Walmart are some of our largest accounts here. So the things that you typically see in this market from either of those three major retailers mostly come from the Hagedorn Printing Company. So we're working in conjunction with a lot of their marketing agencies right now to get a nice transition for them after the first of the year into, again, appropriate shops that can handle that type of work.
We've been hearing about the tariffs and the potential effect for many months now. How much of that played into your decision to shut down the company?
There were a lot of factors that played into the final decision, and that was really just one, and sort of came on us right toward the tail end of the decision-making process. It was a serious factor, though. For Rollstock, we bring our heat set Rollstock, which is our web press. We bring half of that in from China and half of it in from Canada. So only half of the stock is affected, but it's two of the most commonly used grades of paper, and those are not available from our Canadian vendor. And I obviously have had a lot of feedback, a lot of comments. Why don't we buy domestic roll stock? And the easiest answer to that is most of these grades are not available domestically anymore. So even the mainland printers that utilize this type of coated paper are buying it from Canadian resources and some out of China too. Our geographic location allows us to, you know, really shop the Chinese market for that paper. Whereas, you know, someone maybe located in the Midwest or the East Coast, it wouldn't be as efficient an option. But really, the paper markets have changed so much in the last decade. A lot of the paper mills that were domestically owned at one point have either shut down or they've been converted into doing other types of paper, uncoated stocks like newsprint, for example, or packaging or cardboards, corrugated. So a lot of these plants, you know, have really already been retooled to provide a product that is more popular and more widely used than roll stock papers, both coated and uncoated. So for us, the tariff of 25% on some of these, there's really not a whole lot of option except to pay it. And so the margins in this type of work are such that it would be impossible not to pass that on to our clients, or at least the majority of that material's cost. And unfortunately, many of our clients being, in the same sort of economic conditions industry-wide that we are really going to be unable to pay those types of premiums. So with some of the transitions that will be made for our larger clients, like, say, Macy's, Costco, Walmart, they will probably be able to absorb some of the print work back into mainland printers that are working on different stocks, and they'll have to make those transitions and then just zone their inserts and ship them here. You know, when we start to look at some of the chain of custody for the papers that we use and we work with, we really try to focus on things like the Forestry Stewardship Council, FSC certified, which basically means that we're working with paper mills that know exactly where their pulps are coming from, and that, you know, it's not a, you know, we're not working with mills that can't track back to, deforestation and those kinds of things. The papers that we use are typically from pulps and trees that are responsibly grown and harvested for the specific reason to make paper. And that's becoming a whole lot harder to certify, first and foremost, and secondly, to find outside of some of our preferred vendors, which are now obviously being subject to some of these tariffs. So when we look at the paper industry in total, it's a commodity, so it goes up and down all the time, but really it's been so incredibly volatile the last couple of years that it's been almost impossible to predict and forecast for our clients what type of material cost increases that they'll be subject to. This change is just one that layers a whole different cost structure on the top of that, you know, already existing volatility. So, you know, you're right in saying there are other alternatives, looking at eucalyptus trees, looking at bamboo papers, and some of those things, but it's really not in mainstream production yet. So traditional fibers and hardwoods are really where most of these types of papers are coming from. And it is, like I said, it's a tough market anyway, and with this on top of it, it's making it even more difficult.
I remember when Weyerhaeuser shut down and there was lots of concern because, you know, they were producing a lot of the pizza boxes, I think, if I mm-hmm. recall. And that there had to be this adjustment, you know, with businesses across the state because that supplier wasn't there anymore.
You know, and this will be an adjustment too. But, you know, the majority of the work that we do on our three sheet-fed presses, our two digital presses, our large format presses, you know, our mail house and our bindery can be handled by some of the smaller companies that are here in town. Edwards Enterprises, Honblu, for example, are two of our competitors that we've always had a really friendly relationship with. Both have, you know, solid talented people and good products with great quality. So a lot of the transitions that we'll be helping our clients make, I'm hoping, is more out of peace of mind and you know, making sure that their schedules and the things that they need, the products that they require, get handled as efficiently as possible. And we've already obviously been talking to both of those particular organizations to make sure that we, you know, can transition these very important accounts of ours over within the next 60 days so that nobody misses a beat and people are still able to produce what they require. You know, one of the things that really contributed to this overall and has been coming for really the last 12 years, are the core of our business the five companies that came together that formed the Hagedorn Printing Company in 1996, the core of our business was publications and regional and local publishers and all of the magazines, many of the titles that still exist that you see in the market and you can probably think of. Over those 12 years, though, the competition has become incredibly, incredibly fierce. It's only been recently, within the last 5 or 6 years, that, you know, we've kind of branched out into the digital space. And you know, unfortunately, it was maybe too little too late. While it has been a significant growth area for us in the last 5 or 6 years, just not enough to keep up with the natural erosion of those publishers and publications off of our top line. We all know how we consume information differently these days. So you're right, we are all struggling with the, you know, adaption to different formats, especially in such a capital-intensive business as, you know, traditional media or a printing company, commercial printing company, because we have so much heavy equipment and such a big space and so many people to make it all come together. That's a really hard corner to turn quickly, and you know, really those escalating costs are certainly a factor for everyone that's going through challenging times in this industry.
That was Hagedorn CEO Clint Schroeder. Now, the company plans to keep its Hagedorn Media Group, which publishes This Week and Visitor and retail publications, and Hagedorn Digital, which provides graphic design, social media, and other web-based services. Hagedorn Hawaii is owned by the Hagedorn Corporation based in Idaho.